This is the St. Luligan Podcast Network.
Welcome. Welcome all you lovely listeners out there to another exciting preview throw-in episode of the River City Ramble. As always, today I am your host, Sean Campbell, and with me today in the studio cave, that's right, I'm having a little powwow here in the cave, is Maddie Casey. Some of you may know him and seen him around at various events around town, but he is our resident expert for RSL because that's the team we're playing on Saturday. So Maddie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and say hi to listeners for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for having me. Super excited to be on the pod. I am a Real Salt Lake supporter, have been for a long, long time. As I told the gentleman in Schlafly who didn't like my jersey in week one, I didn't put this shirt on just to piss you off. I have been inked for quite a number of years now. But my wife and I are living here in St. Louis. We're season ticket holders. We're in the supporter section every week that RSL is not in town. And always happy to talk to you guys in the flesh. Come say hello. I'm not scary, I promise.
Don't let the big beard intimidate you, folks. He's a real softy on the inside. And I mean, it's always fun to hang out with people who support other teams, as long as it's not the blue team in Kansas. We don't like them too much most days. So
I feel like that's our easiest way to bond, our joined hatred for Sporting Kansas City and their new ownership group.
Yes, absolutely. Except, you know, I was on the other end of that for a long time, but we're not here to talk about the past. I'm going to go full Mark McGwire on that one. So we'll go ahead and get into it. So Maddie, why don't you give everybody else out there a bit better idea of what we can expect from RSL? What kind of style of play do they have? Kind of formation do they run? And I know we did a little bit of a preview last season. Could you give us a little bit more insight into how they may be different this year than they were from last year?
Absolutely. So I think anyone who has watched Real Salt Lake, you know, over the last 10 years, it has always been ever since the diamond went away under Jeff Kassar, it has always been go up the flanks, cross it in, create chances that way, speedy wingers, and then compact defensively. And you can do that when you've got Nick Raimondo who can ping an 80-yard ball and put it on somebody's preferred foot. We've undergone a bit of a renaissance this last year. Everything kind of changed. We lost all of our coaching staff with the exception of our head coach, Pablo Mastroianni. We've got all new ideas in the offensive zone, and I personally love it. I would say if you want to see what RSL is trying to do, go back and watch, I believe it was the week two match, RSL versus LA. That was the Snowmageddon.
Oh, the Orange Ball game.
Yes. Yes. I love an Orange Ball game. I'm an MLS After Dark confirmed sicko. Give me the Orange Ball every week. But what's interesting about that particular game, if you just watch the first 45 minutes when the snow is starting to fall, you can actually see everybody's footprints. And once you can put them with a player, you can see what patterns of play this new coaching staff has RSL trying to play. It's a lot more overloading one side versus the other. You'll see players like Diego Luna flip from left to right multiple times throughout the match. A lot of quick slip passes from a gentleman that you only got to see for a few minutes in week one. Our new, I believe he is a designated player, but he's by downable, Matt Crooks that we got from Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm. If you want extra bonus points, you can call him by his amazing nickname, Tree. I think they call him that because he's 6'5".
That would make sense.
There are a lot of Gandalf and the Shire jokes when there are goal celebrations and there's one guy that's like a foot taller than everyone around him. And what I saw when we watched him in week one against St. Louis is just that when he's getting the ball, he's not taking touches and passing. He's just immediately flipping it to one side or the other. And it gave St. Louis fits. I expect you will see a lot more of that this week. I certainly hope you will.
Yeah, I mean, you might. I don't. But then again, you know, City fan here. I'm a bit of a homer. So
I think the big thing is just RSL this year has been so much more central in their attack, going up through the middle, then going to the flanks late, or sometimes not even bothering with the flanks. I am hopeful that the RSL coaching staff is aware of the return of Blom and know that maybe going through the middle is not going to be as easy as it was in week one. And I mean, no disrespect to Chris Durkin, who I've loved for a long, long time. But there's only one job low then.
Yeah. And I mean, with Leuven still out, you can expect it's going to, if Blom gets to play, he's going to be playing right next to Ulstrak there in the middle. And we've seen him have an emergence there in the CDM role. I think we might be able to get, with him having more games under his belt in that position, I think it might be more difficult down the center for you guys. That being said, with the emergence of Celio Pompeu and Indiana Vasilev having a pretty good season and Rasmus Alm coming back, do you think that's going to give you guys any problems down the wing? You think City might be able to get some good opportunities down the wing?
I think the biggest thing is that we know now about Sam Adeniran, Big Sam, as I've been
Big
calling
Man
him
Sam.
Since the first time I saw him. I'll tell you I'll tell you guys this. At the end of that week one match, someone on staff, I'm not going to say who it was talking to my wife and I and some friends of mine from Utah that were here for the match. And I asked them about the Sam goal where he just kind of bodied Vera off the ball and just took it and scored on his left foot. And the whole time, I literally, as soon as he got around Vera, I turned to the fans behind me and said, "This is a goal. You guys are going to score right here." And at the time, that was the tying goal for St. Louis. The staff member said, "Oh, we didn't know he could do that."
Did you not watch any tape from last year?
I the face that I made, I feel like I scared the person who said that to me just with the look of incredulity on my face, similar to when St. Louis went to Sandy last year, and I think they beat them 4-1 on four second half goals. At the end, Pablo says, "Well, you know, we did well. They only had the ball, you know, 30% of the time or 32% of the time." And I'm literally throwing things in my apartment like, "St. Louis doesn't want the ball. Did you? Who's the scout team?" So I, without saying what I said in the moment, I'll tell you that I'm hoping that the RSL staff is aware of Sam now. I am not as concerned about our wing play as who's going to be in our central defensive mid pairing. We usually play with a double pivot, but one of our most important players, Pablo Ruiz, you know, is out for the season again. We lost him last year about halfway through, and immediately our season just kind of tanked. He's so important to us, and losing him is a big deal.
What other injuries are there out there for you guys? I know we've got Parker coming back for City. Nilsson is now going out though with a cracked rib. Leuven's still out, so that's the extent of the City injuries. But yeah, what are you aware of when it comes to injuries for the RSL side?
As far as starters go, the only one I know is that Tree has a bit of a knock. But last I heard, he was going to be available for this match. So starting wise, I'm not worried about injuries at all. I'm worried about these guys coming back from out of town. So we've had Diego Luna, Moonboy. We had him with the U20s. Gavin Beavers, I'm sorry, our backup goalie. We had him with the U20s. We had Luna with the U23s. He went unused. So I'm hoping he comes back full of juice. I haven't had a chance. I was telling you before we recorded, I've been out on the top of Bell Mountain for the last couple of days. Andres Gomez, who is one of our young DPs, he was out with Colombia. He was an injury replacement for them. So I'm hoping that he can come back. He's 2 goals, 2 assists so far in his young season. That's 4 matches played.
Yeah.
And a lot of our offense has flowed through him down that right side. He and Crooks and Chicho Arango have just, they look like they've been playing together for a decade, the way that they combine. So
it's amazing how some people can just, you give them like 2 games and they just click and they get it and they play really well together. And, you know, we had a lot of that for City last year, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of it this year, but we'll get into that into a minute. We've already kind of covered some, you know, some players that we want to watch from RSL. We're all pretty aware of the players to watch for City. I guess we should get down to the nitty gritty of the matchup itself. When you look at the stat sheet, like you said, you know, when you were interacting with the staff member, they were like, "Well, City only had 30% of the ball. We had a bunch of the ball." that seems to be the situation still, because as it stands per FOTMob, again, everybody knows I get my stats from FOTMob, so they're not exactly perfect, but they're a good jumping off point. It has RSL as number one in average possession. They're number one in possession, one in the final third. I misread my note there. They also appear to be winning the ball more up higher up the pitch. They are also 10th in the league when it comes to interceptions. So that playing centrally and winning the ball back to the midfield works as well. They're also a very disciplined team. I haven't seen very many cards or fouls for them. They're continuing to be upwards of 55, almost 60% average possession per game. And it seems like they also are, like you said, they're pretty good about overloading the field and then switching that when their attack gets pressed and stifled. A lot of that seems to be problematic for City in the past. Do you think that we're going to see a lot of what we've seen so far from RSL, or you think there's going to be any sort of change of tactic to try to give City the ball and make them play with the ball at their feet?
I think you could try to do that. RSL at home, I think it's the biggest thing that we can do is try to make City run. So back when Mike Pecky was our coach, you'd see it a lot where he would just ping the ball east and west for 60 minutes and run the other team into the ground at altitude. And then as soon as you saw the head start to go down and they couldn't breathe, everything would switch and it would just start being north and south. My concern as a City supporter, I like watching the team, is just the fullback starting positions, especially against LA, for example. I just felt like they were consistently so high that Paintsell didn't have to beat them. He had already beat them as soon as he started running. Now you're trying to catch up to him. Well, not many teams have Paintsell. In fact, only one does. I just said that, LA Galaxy. But we do have speed on our flanks at RSL. And tricky players that the league is not quite familiar with yet. So I think Fidel Barajas had his coming out party last week. 17-year-old dual international. He played for Mexico's U-17 World Cup, but he is eligible for a one-time switch to the U.S., and every finger and toe I have is crossed that he makes that switch, because this kid can do it all. He's got a right foot. He's got a left foot.
And what position does he play?
So, great question. He has played at winger. He has played at 10, and he has played at forward, and he does them all well.
So he's across the front then. Okay.
Yes. Offensive player. We got him from a USL team last year. And when we did, they announced it, I think, in January. I went and did a search on my Twitter account because I'm like, I swear I've looked at this kid before. And sure enough, I found a tweet from last, September, October from some youth tournament where there were some RSL players in the tournament. And clearly that's why I was watching the tournament. But my tweet wasn't about an RSL player. My tweet was, Barajas, if you're not watching this kid, you're missing out. Because he can shoot with either foot. He can hit corners with either foot. And when you watch him receive a ball, I don't want to ruin anything, but when you watch him receive a ball, his head doesn't go down. The ball gets there and it just immediately becomes part of his foot. So if you go back and watch RSL's highlights from their victory last week over Vancouver on the road, specifically the second goal, he assisted both RSL goals, but the second goal to our new left back, Alex Katranas, Fidel, his first touch isn't actually perfect. It's not actually amazing, but he never puts his head down to find a ball. He's looking right at Alex the whole time. When he doesn't get the touch he wants, that scraps his shot. And he just loops it over to Katranas, who hits a worldie. It was up for goal of the week. I know it didn't win, but
that's still amazing. some pretty important. Like it seems like it's 101, but like even players at the top levels still forget. You always got to have your head up and you're always looking forward. If you're caught ball watching and looking at the ball at your own feet, you don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know where the players are around you that are coming to pressure you. You got to always have your head up and your head on a swivel. And that was the first thing I learned as a defender. So the fact that being able to do that at such an elite level is standout blows my mind, but also doesn't, because you see so many guys like they just know where the other guys on their team are. So they don't have to look up. But I'd rather them be looking and watching, because as we've seen from City in the attack, a lot of what we've been seeing this season is there's a disconnect where that final pass is not where it needs to be, or, they're anticipating the run, but the guy's not making the run, or it's just too far ahead of them because they passed it before the guy, before whichever player made the run. So being able to do that at an elite level is truly special. And if we could just get a little bit more of that from City, I think we might. It'd be a more intense matchup, we'll say.
So did you go to the City 2 match against North Texas last Sunday?
I did not. I was not able to, no.
Okay. I am not casting stones at any player who plays professionally at any level, because obviously they're all way better than I ever was. Again, when I say that about Barajas, remember that I said he was 17. A big thing that I look at, and I'm a huge youth international guy. That's how I know Hack. I know I met John Hackworth when he was coaching the U-17s for the U.S. national team down in Florida. I used to live down there. I see kids all the time who can do it in the USL. They can do it in MLS Next Pro or whatever you're calling it these days. But when I watch them play and everyone's like, oh, this kid's scoring goals, we've got to give him a chance. I'm looking at that player thinking, can the way that he plays translate to MLS?
Yeah.
So there are players in USL, and I'm not naming anyone specific on air, but anyone who's a fan of my podcast knows who I probably mean. Youth player scores a ton of goals, but when you watch him, he's just bigger and stronger than everyone in his age group. And all he's doing is kicking it faster, kicking it further, and then catching up to it before anyone else can. And then he either hits it on target, or just as likely it's 30 rows deep. And I get into vigorous debates with fans of this gentleman that he might have all the potential in the world. I'm no elite judge of talent, but what he's doing does not translate to MLS, or I don't think that it will. And I think that's why he's not getting a chance, where Barajas is ready. And yeah. When I was watching North Texas and I was watching St. Louis City too, honestly, there just weren't a lot of players that I thought could step right into MLS and not embarrass themselves. The way I thought about AZ Jackson last year, watched him play and said, what he's doing, his weaknesses are that he doesn't score, right? That's all anybody ever complains about is that he doesn't score goals.
But he does so much more on the
field. That's all I hear. It's almost like, to me, that's you're missing the steak and looking for the sizzle. He is so phenomenal at chance creation that because he scored a couple goals in St. Louis City too, everyone was like, oh, he's going to come up to the team and score. He's still creating chances for other people at what I consider to be an elite rate. I could watch AZ all day and just, I wish we could have those ISO cams like they do in England sometimes, where you could just pick, like, I want to watch this player, I want to watch that player. I love watching AZ play with or without the ball. I feel like he's an underrated player who gets a lot of hate that I don't understand where it's coming from.
He's just, he's always on the move, and his distribution is pretty good. He's pretty decent when there's players pressuring him to take good touches, to put the ball in an area where he can at least make a good pass. He's not necessarily dribbling at guys and taking on 4, 5, 6 guys and then taking it to the box and then passing it off. But you know, it's in that middle third and in getting into that final third where he makes those turns, passes it off to somebody and lays it up the wing for somebody, for usually, I guess it'd be Alm on the right side, or sometimes Indian Vasilev, where they can put a beautiful cross in. It ends up on Klaus's foot or to a Adeniran. But AZ, because he's not scoring, I think he gets a little bit of ire from a lot of the more casual fans, I'd say. And even some fans that pay a lot of attention to the sport, because at the end of the day, you know, in this industry, score is king. You look at the scoreboard. If you didn't score enough points, you didn't win the game. That's what matters at the end of the day. But you need chance creation in order to do that.
Right. 100%. You need somebody that can get the ball to those guys in a dangerous area. And I don't need to see somebody dribbling at 5 guys. If I want to watch that, I'll go watch Neymar. You know what? He loses the ball half the time. And then he doesn't go back and play D.
And the other half the time, he's rolling on the field because he got taken out. So.
When I look at AZ, I see Kai Havertz. You know, like I see a guy that they're trying to figure out the best place for him to play, but you can't watch him and deny his skill. And it boggles my mind that Lutz picked him up literally off the trash heap. I mean, his value when Lutz signed him was 200K. Lutz got him for 150. And I don't think I'm betraying a confidence when I say that the book on him, and I've heard this from more than one person, the reason Minnesota didn't keep him, he annoyed their coach with how many questions he was asking.
Why they didn't want him? Okay, hold on. That makes him fit more perfectly into the system, because everybody, I've said it multiple times on our show, Bradley Carnell and Lutz Feinenstiel are very much students of the game, always wanting to learn, try new things, and figure things out. And a lot of the guys on this team are very much like that. And hearing that AZ very much is a question asker and trying to figure things out makes him even more perfect here. And I cannot wait for him to just explode and get all the love in the world because he deserves every inch of it.
1,000%. And when he's on your pod, you can tell him that I said that. Don't tell him my name until he confirms it. But that's what I was told. That because I watched him play last year and I said, why would Minnesota get rid of this guy? And someone told me that. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And then I thought about their head coach, who's kind of, well, their ex-head coach.
Adrian Heath.
Well, I wasn't going to say his name.
We all know it's Adrian Heath.
Yeah, it's Adrian Heath. He's a bit of a curmudgeon. He famously said that our goalie wasn't that good after we beat him. And I haven't really liked him ever since.
Yeah, I mean, but he's a bit of an old head. We'll say that. He's a bit of an old head.
Literally everyone that I've said that to tells me what a nice guy he is and that he and I would drink a glass of wine and be best friends. And it's, you know, entirely possible.
It's completely possible to be a great friend and a drinking buddy, but also be just the most stick in the mud head coach and make you bad at your job because you're not willing to adapt to the game.
All I'll say is when someone said that to me about AZ, it made sense.
Yeah.
Right. It made sense from, you know, just watching AZ play. He seems like a heady player. Someone who's thinking a lot and wants to understand the best way to do what he's doing. And it also makes sense with Adrian Heath and what little I know of him from afar.
Yeah.
So I guess I can't say 1,000% that's why. But if you look up his transfer market value right now, he's at $2 million. So
he's already exploded in value. So a couple more questions about, you know, how the matchup, how you think the matchup is going to go. I looked at some of the stats, the team stats, and it seems like St. Louis is pretty comparable to RSL in a lot of the categories. They're pretty close. I guess the biggest difference here is that City has missed more big chances than RSL have. And I think a lot of that is that Klaus has just been lacking the confidence. But now that he has that PK goal, is that going to open the faucet and are the floodgates going to be open? And do we see a brace from Klaus in this game? Maybe not a brace, but I think Klaus is going to start scoring. You guys know what Sam Adeniran can do. Do you have a plan for if Sam Adeniran and Klaus are both on the field on all six cylinders, just rolling and ready to go? Because if you mark one of them, the other one's lurking in the background, ready to just absolutely give you fits. Do you have a plan for that too?
I certainly hope so. Honestly, from what I've ever seen of Brad Carnell, it seems like he prefers to have one of the two starting and one in reserve. Like a big thing. And I remember I heard him say this, so I can say this. He said he likes to have somebody that he knows is a difference maker available off the bench. And right now, when I look at St. Louis City's roster after Nico left, I don't know how you do that. If you want to bring a difference maker off the bench, then it's got to be Joao or it's got to be Sam, to me. You know, I
think Celio can be a difference maker off the bench as well. He's had a great season so far, but I think he's much better served starting at this point.
I think Celio's not only an amazing talent, he's also hilarious. Now, there's a guy you want to get a beer with.
I have seen many of the social media videos from the team, and him and Indiana Vasilev are absolute personalities, yes. And they crack me up on the daily.
Yeah, Celio's amazing. But also maybe not a pure goal scorer. So if we're talking about the possibility of Klaus playing alongside Sam, while I love the idea, I guess I just haven't seen Bradley as interested in that. But I could be off. I mean, I certainly wouldn't like to see that coming at me if I was a defender, or in my case, I'm a goalie.
One last thing before I jump into my keys to the city, though. I've noticed a trend for City this year is that last year we saw a lot of if they went down a goal or two, it was kind of, well, how do we get back in this game? We don't know how this is going to happen or how we can make this work. This year is very much different. We've gone down multiple times and come back into games that we had no business being in. And I think we might be able to see this trend continue if RSL score first. But a lot of that, I think, depends on if the defense can hold up. But do you think in a game where RSL goes up 2-0, Do you think Zach McMath can keep you in the game by keeping out the elite shots that you're going to get from Klaus, from Adeniran, and potentially from players like, you know, a random shot from Celio outside the box, or from AZ just whipping one in just cuz, or even Ostrak?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think Zach McMath is a very underrated goalkeeper. I think he'd be starting on a lot of teams in this league. He's not Roman Berkey, but who is?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's fair.
I think everyone agrees that Roman Berkey's going to be at the All-Star game this year.
Again.
Why would he not be? The guy's amazing. I mean,
he's still putting up those numbers while letting up three goals at a time. He's still putting up saves of the week and still putting up huge save numbers. Like,
team of the week, when you gave up, man of the match and team of the week, when you gave up three goals, says a lot about you.
Says more about your defense, but.
Well, that's the way I would look at it as an RSL supporter. I'd be licking my chops going at a defense that I know is not going to have Nielsen because of the broken rib.
But Tim Parker is back. And I don't know if you listen to our show very often, but I've said it multiple times this year. The defense looks much different when Parker's not on the field. With him back, that could very much be the catalyst we need, because he is a proper field marshal and Nielsen's still kind of growing into that role. But that's something that comes with experience. I think Parker very much could really shore this up and throw him on the field with Kyle Hebert and, you know, hope and pray that Durr gets it figured out on the left and Totland continues to do what he does on the right. Who knows? This may be the game that everything clicks.
Well, like you said, Parker is back. As someone who's even older than Parker, if you can fathom that, I am. Someone who's had back injuries, I'm always nervous watching a player come back from back injury. So I hope and pray the best for Tim Parker, because he is just the sweetest guy I've probably ever met. And I hope that what you say is correct. I also would love to see Yarrow get another shot in center back. I think he's great. But
I mean, he's played pretty well the last few games, so I don't see why he wouldn't get a run out. But
I mean, another player that seems to draw a lot of ire from the vocal minority around me in the supporters' wall, and I'm literally turning around. I don't know what you guys are watching.
There's a reason our co-host Chris actually got the Yarrow jersey. It's because he's a great guy. He's a great player. He's a good leader too. Like he just never got the proper shot in MLS. And I think now that he's had one, he is doing everything in his power to keep that playing time. So
I hope he continues. I love watching Josh Yarrow play as well.
Well, with that being said, I'm going to jump into my keys to the city real quick. No puns this week, y'all. I did not have the time nor the brain power to properly pun it up. But first key to the city is going to be, we got to tighten it up on defense. Ties perfectly into the last point. Communication is going to be key, and hopefully Parker coming back can fix this. When you're out wide and you're moving out of position to attack the ball, you got to make sure someone is behind you sliding out to properly cover you, so that, you know, we don't end up with Durr and Nielsen running into each other again and then giving up a goal immediately after. So we got to make sure we tighten up that D-line and continue to better the communication between the back four. Second key to the city is going to be, you got to clean up the passing. I've seen a lot of sloppy passes in the midfield, sloppy passes in the final third. Ostrak cannot be the only one out there who's consistently making clean passes. We got to make sure we're not forcing the pass just to make the pass, because the ball, you know, you can't force a pass forward just because you don't want to pass it behind you. You can't just kick it long and hope that Sam's going to run onto it either. You got to make sure your passes are getting there and actually push the ball to the other player instead of just like kicking it and hoping they get there. And my third key to the city for this match is, we got to make sure we're making those good choices in the attack in that final third. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect between the forwards, whether it's Sam and Klaus or Sam and AZ or Klaus and AZ. They're just not quite clicking. They're not gelling this season. And I think a lot of that was due to Klaus's confidence issues. But now that he's on, I think we can see a lot of those finishing touches and the shots finally be there, be on frame, and really ask a lot of Zach McMath. And if we can do all those three things, I can fully expect that City's going to come out of this one with a win. That being said, Maddie, go ahead and give me your prediction for this match and any reasoning you have behind it.
I mean, St. Louis is undefeated this year, so you'd have to be a fool to predict that they're going to lose this week. I assume whenever I see you guys that you're going to be wearing ascots, because you've got to be sick of ties by now. Is that good enough fun for you?
That's fantastic.
All that said, I still predict RSL will win this one 3-2.
See, I like to do mine where I have my head prediction and my heart prediction. My head prediction says this is going to be another absolute barn burner of a match. A little bit more exciting than the match we played a couple weeks ago. But it's going to be, I've got a 3-3 draw on the books for my head. My heart says Berkey comes out, stands on his head, the defense tightens up, and we win this one. And City wins this one 3-1. But we'll see what happens at the end of the day.
It's going to be an awesome game. Regardless, I will tell your fans, we're going to have a separate game going on during the game. This is an exclusive for you guys. Dunny Bingo is going to be back this week. So Brian Dunseth is going to be the color commentator for the match. If you watch my Twitter before the game, I will call out for submissions. Anything you want him to say during the game, he will work into his commentary. Before the match starts, I'm going to send out a bingo card, a custom bingo card. You click the link, you get your custom bingo card. And one random winner will win tickets to a future match.
So I'm going to have to play this.
Oh, it's a great bit of fun. And I'll tell you a secret. Don't say something like, hey, Dunny, say hi to me. He's not going to do that.
Right.
But if you can work in a quote from one of his favorite movies, like The Big Lebowski or Dumb and Dumber or...
you had me at Big Lebowski.
Yeah. Those, you'll hear those a lot. You'll see those a lot in the submissions. But also make it fun. I mean, whoever says he toasted him like ravioli, I promise you that's going to end up on the board. Whoever says, you know, their new arch enemy, do something fun with St. Louis, man. He loves to do it. He loves to do it. He loves when the other team gets into it too. So it's always been an RSL thing, but when the other teams get involved, he gets giddy.
Well, we'll have to make sure we pass that along to the listeners. While we're on the topic, why don't you go ahead and state, if we haven't already, go ahead and state for the listeners where they can find you, where they can find your podcast and everything about that on the socials.
Absolutely. We are at Royal Riot Pod across all socials. And then because I'm old and I really only mess around with Twitter, my Twitter handle is at ShinKicker13, because when I was in my mid-30s, I tore my UCL and couldn't play goal anymore. Started playing defense and literally kicked every single player in the league in the shins because I didn't know how to play defense. Always apologized, but literally 1 week they were like, oh God, we got to play against Shin Kicker, and no one on my team would let me forget it.
So well, there you go.
Finally, I leaned in and said, okay, this is who I am now.
Well, Maddie, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the insight. Go City. And you know, if it couldn't happen to any nicer of a team, because you love a team that can make the blue team just break hearts for them as much as you guys have in the past. So with that being said, I'm your resident cave dwelling hooligan, Sean, and for Mike and Chris and Mason, this has been an exciting throw-in episode of the River City Ramble, and thanks for listening, and bye for now.